You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know if any of you are in the import business, but if you were to import lumber from Canada right now, it would cost you a 45% tariff. Steel, 50%. Same for copper. Don't worry, it's not going to be that kind of sermon. But tariffs. But you want to know what Canadian import has zero tariff? The music of Celine Dion, Bryan Adams, Rush, Alanis Morissette, and the one that I'm thinking of today, Avril Lavigne. Avril, who, when she was 16, wrote some songs that appeared on an album in 2002 that went multi-platinum, famous for the hit Skater Boy, spelled S-K, the number 8, R-B-O-I, and my favorite song, the first single, which really, I mean, it still gets a ton of airplay, Complicated, which is a song about teenage romance when Avril sings about how she was dating this guy. I presume he was sort of an emo kid, like sort of goth, just like she was, wearing lots of dark clothes and shopping at Hot Topic and whatever it might be. And then, but he goes all preppy. You know, he makes the switch to Abercrombie/The Gap. And Avril says, why'd you have to go and make things so complicated? Take off all your preppy clothes, right? So this is how Complicated goes. And over in the chorus, she asks again and again, why did you have to go and make things so complicated? Life can be very complicated, whether you are 16 and in Canada, or 56 in Waco, or at whatever age that you are, life can get really complicated. And that's what happened today in the reading from Genesis chapter 1. Now, you heard that reading. It was a long time ago. The whole thing took about 20 minutes, and you've forgotten what happened when Dean read it. And I love that Dean read Genesis 1 with a long white beard. I feel like that just sort of fits. Very mosaic of you. That's a reference to Moses, not art or another church in Waco. Don't worry. And I love Slim and Malcolm. But let's get back on topic. So in Genesis chapter 1, you begin with this passage about the creation of the world, and it gets complicated real fast. And we tend to not like it when we don't like it when things get complicated. But it is Trinity Sunday, which could be renamed God is Complicated Sunday. And we always talk about the Trinity. You know, as we're moving through the church year, we begin with Advent and then the birth of Jesus at Christmas, and then he's revealed to the whole world. That's Epiphany. And then you have the sort of life of Jesus. You have his death and resurrection. That's Easter. And then the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And so now, after Pentecost, the band has gotten back together. And so Trinity Sunday always falls right after Pentecost. And here we are. But there's no like reading that's like, here is the doctrine of the Trinity. So we begin with this Genesis 1 reading about, of all things, creation. And as I said, it gets complicated. So I want to talk about this reading, why it is the reading for Trinity Sunday. I want to talk about a French producer of electronic dance music. And I want to talk about how God is complicated for us in our complicated lives. So, as I said, we begin with the creation of the world. And it begins pretty straightforward, verse 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, understood, tracking, God made everything. I picture at this point that Far Side comic that showed God, white beard, white robe, standing on a cloud at a table in heaven, doing this with clay, and rolled out on the table in front of him are all these snakes. And he's doing this, and it says, God makes snakes. And what God is saying is, boy, these things are a cinch. God created the heavens and the earth. That's what we think maybe God was up to, you know, making stuff. But it's not a cinch. It's actually pretty complicated. You begin to get it that it's complicated when you get to verse 2. So God created the heavens and the earth. Like, okay, let's just move on. Let's get into Moses and let's get into Noah and the ark and all that. But no, we read, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. So it just got kind of weird. You know, God made the heavens and the earth. Okay, but then the earth, it's a formless void. Formless void. What's a formless void? It's been created, but it doesn't have a form. How can it exist and not have a shape? Or it's void. It's empty. What? How is it a thing if it's void? What is going on? This is getting kind of complicated and kind of weird. And then there's water. Where did that come from? What's going on? It's deep water. It's presented this chaotic, swirling, churning thing. And over the water is, as it says, a wind from God. Wind? Where did the wind come from? You know, wind, as we all know, air molecules moving around from one place to another, and a lot of them move and push up against you, and you say, hey, that's wind, and they move the leaves of the tree, and you say, oh, it's windy today. This is all happening because of changes in atmospheric pressure due to the heating of the earth and the cooling of the earth and the rotation of the earth. You know, you didn't expect Meteorology Sunday, but that's what you're getting. Also, how is this wind happening? Is there air already? Have the molecules been made? I mean, the sky doesn't get created until day 2, the atmosphere. And the sun doesn't show up until day 4. What? How do we have wind? What kind of wind is this? And this isn't just some normal wind. I mean, in Hebrew, the word for wind can also, and is many times translated, ruach, spirit. So maybe this is not just regular wind. Maybe something else is happening here. Now we're just still in verse 2. Moving to verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Something we've heard a lot. This is a famous verse. Let there be light. You know, there's your private uncle who, whenever he walks in the room, flips the light switch, probably says, let there be light. You know, there's always that guy in the family. It's a famous verse, even if you're not the regular churchgoer. Let there be light. You've heard it. But if you think about it, it's kind of weird. God is speaking. How is God speaking? Speaking, like I'm doing, requires some hardware, diaphragm, lungs, air in the lungs, to move the air up over your vocal cords, through your trachea, into the mouth, where your lips, teeth, tongue shape these sounds, and there have to be ears to hear it as that sound moves through those air molecules. How is God speaking? And who is hearing it? Is God just thinking these things? And even if we can put that question aside, I guess language already exists for God to say, let there be light. And again, it wasn't in English, but it's a translation for us. But language of some kind exists with grammar and syntax and an alphabet. Then there has to be a word for light, which doesn't even exist yet. Where did this come from and what is going on? This just got really complicated. And of course, this complicated situation gets more interesting. All these things get created, all these animals, the cattle and the creeping things, the things that fill the earth, the sea monsters, the stars, the sun, the moon, all of it is there. And these human beings, which are given a really fun job description, you know, have dominion, be fruitful and multiply, play, be vegetarians. I know that's a bummer, but that's how it was. You know, eat all the plants and stuff. This was God's original plan. And then it gets super complicated in chapter 3 when it really goes off the rails and goes to heck in a handbasket real quick. You know, they eat the one vegan thing they weren't supposed to touch. That's right. It is funny. And then they're full of fear and shame and they're hiding and all that human anxiety and alienation comes in and gets really complicated. So this is that story on Trinity Sunday of this very complicated God. A wind which is not a wind and a word when language doesn't exist yet and all of this happening. And the message of Trinity Sunday is a good one because life is not what the French EDM producer Mazik would have you believe. So Mazik, I don't know, Dean, do you know Mazik? Anyways, well, I don't even look at you. Don't answer. So Mazik is his producer, M-A-E-S-I-C. I'm in a big EDM phase, so there could be more sermons that reference music like this. So there's a song called Life is Simple, and it's a voiceover of a female voice over some really good dance music, and Life is Simple has this over and over, kind of, it's almost like a spoken word poem, and the vocalist, Salome Das, the Indonesian model, is saying, if you don't like your job, quit. Life is simple. If you don't have enough time, stop watching TV. Life is simple. How dare you, Salome? Right? And the song, it's sort of catchy, but every time I listen to it, I'm like, well, no, life isn't that simple. There are lots of people in jobs they don't like, and they can't quit for very good reasons. And if you've been stuck in that, you know it's not that simple. You know, if you don't have enough time, stop watching TV. That's another sort of thing. Like, well, you know, if you're eating too much, just stop. If you have anxious thoughts, just stop having anxious thoughts. If you can't sleep at night, just sleep more. Like, it's, you know, if it were that easy, we wouldn't have this problem. The whole song is about life being simple, and every time I hear it, I'm like, it's not, you know? It's not simple. It's really hard. And you know this. You have a job or know someone who does, and it's not simple. You have a family or know someone who does. You have siblings. You have parents. You have people in your life that don't do what is best for themselves. You don't do what is best for yourself. You have thoughts that you wish you didn't have. You have feelings that you wish you didn't have. I heard a story of the complicatedness of life recently, and it was a woman who lives, she's 86, and she lives by herself in a peninsula off the coast of Washington State, and her nearest child is 100 miles away, and her husband is dead, and she's got scoliosis, and her mobility is limited, and she just was sort of alone all the time. And the firefighters knew she was alone, and they heard about this new experimental thing. You can get a robot called LEQ, LEQ, and Ellie will come to your house. She'll sit on your table. She sort of looks like that Pixar lamp, and she has a little screen next to her, and she has a speaker, and she can make lights and can show you pictures. And Ellie is an AI companion for people that live alone. And she'll tell jokes and learn what music you like and play it. She'll interact with you 8 times a day. You don't have to ask her things. She'll ask you things, and she knows kind of where you are, can track you around the room. And this woman who had Ellie installed in her home has found that she loves Ellie and feels less alone. And her cognitive scores at her annual physical have increased. Her memory has improved. She's doing better in all kinds of ways. And yet when her son came to visit and wanted to talk to her about some end-of-life stuff and estate planning and power of attorneys and all that sort of stuff, he wanted to unplug Ellie because he didn't want Ellie to listen to sensitive legal conversations. You know, maybe his siblings would hear. And he unplugged Ellie, and his mom said, "You can't, I love her." That is a complicated situation right there. And we're going to see more of that. Life is complicated, and it's not getting simpler. Life is not simple. And so God shows up in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. This very complicated God, the one who can create, but the one who also hovers over the chaos and brings order to it, this Spirit of God, this wind, and the Word of God. When God speaks, that's how God creates. Let there be light, and that causes light to be. This Word that exists before anything else does. Uncreated, eternal, with God. On this Trinity Sunday, this passage gets us into the territory of the Trinity, the Trinitarian nature of God, the one who creates, the one who is present, bringing order from chaos, and the Word of God that creates things by speaking them into being. And this God then goes on to create this good earth, everything over the 6 days of creation, and it was good, and it was good, and people, and they're very good. How wonderful. But of course, things do fall apart. And so this complicated God comes back in an equally complicated way. Jesus Christ, this Word of God, now revealed to us as fully human, fully God, fully man, and again, speaking things into being that didn't exist before. Saying, get up and walk. saying, your sins are forgiven, saying, neither do I condemn you. And in speaking those things, causes them to be. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be healing. Let there be restoration. Let there be grace. Let there be bread for the hungry. Let there be water for the thirsty. Let there be freedom for the captives. For those who are bound, let them be released. And after he does all this for all of us, this word of God gets on the cross and says, it is finished. And it is. It is all done. This one who speaks has spoken these things into being. And so on this Trinity Sunday, this God is complicated Sunday, we get this reminder of what is true. God is not this far-sighted God in heaven rolling snakes out of clay. That's a simple God. And that's not what I need. I need a complicated God for my complicated life. I need a mysterious God because I don't understand my own life. If I could understand God, that wouldn't be God. I need some God bigger than that, and that's what we find. The God who creates and holds together all things, the God who brings order from chaos, the God who speaks and brings things into being, the Spirit of God who dwells in us, who lives in us, who comforts us, reminds us that we're not alone, directs our path. These three persons, one God, not three parts of one God, not one God that can shape shift into different kinds of God, not a God pie chart, a third, a third, a third, none of that. One God, three persons, God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Father. Complicated, I know. I don't get it. And this is my job. But that's what I need. I need a complicated God who can be the one that creates and holds all things together, the one who can speak things into being that don't exist, and the one who can sustain and comfort and dwell with me and in me to make me and you into the kind of people that we can't be on our own but want to be. It's Trinity Sunday. God is complicated Sunday for your complicated life, and he speaks into being with that creative word. Let there be love. Let there be forgiveness. Let there be power. Let there be grace. Let there be healing. Let there be community. Let them be mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, speak into being in our own lives the things that we need. Help us to hear from you again the truth that we are loved and created out of your love and sustained by your love and filled with your love. Help us to know and feel that now and always. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.